Galatians chapter 6, beginning to read in verse 1. We'll read to verse 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are a wealthy, rich people when we think how you have blessed us in the Lord Jesus. You have given us entrance to the throne of grace because of him. We thank you that even as we just heard this wonderful hymn at Calvary, that the Lord Jesus, not only did he live for us a perfect life, but there on Calvary's cross, he took upon himself our sins. Lord, we confess, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who could stand? And we thank you that you have dealt with your holiness and righteousness on Calvary's cross, and that our sins have been dealt with. We thank you, Lord, for the book of Galatians and how it has blessed us these recent months. We pray now, Lord, as we come to the conclusion of this book, that you would enable us to understand the whole, help us with the application of it. We pray that we might be a people that are a reflection of you and your grace. Lead and direct and guide now in all that is said and done. Give us ears to hear what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title to this sermon is Harvest. We are at the concluding remarks of the book of Galatians, and I believe that we can say that the application and the effects of the grace of God is seen. Folks, if the grace of God has no effect in our lives, forest change, then we need to question whether we know the Lord Jesus. He did not simply come that we would make a profession of faith with lips, a simply lip service. What the Lord wants from us and desires from us and what the Lord does in us, he gives us new hearts and the effects are seen. You want to know what the Christian life is? We don't have to go very far. The book of Galatians, if that's all we had as far as the scriptures, would be enough. Chapter 5, very plainly and clearly, the Christian life, the walk of faith, the walk of love, the walking after the Spirit, being free in the Lord Jesus, yet at the same time bearing one another's burdens, free in Christ, and yet a servant of all. And I want you to know that is really that's the application of the grace of God, and how different from that legalistic mentality that had infiltrated the Galatian churches. They said, dot the I this away, cross the T this away. You need to be circumcised. You need to be going by Moses' law here and there. And all that produced was a self-righteousness with no application in the lives of other people. Folks, when the Lord saves us, he is the one that gives us peace and standing with God. But the application is with those around us and others. And if that's not the case, we need to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not really sure whether I know the Lord Jesus. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, I believe is one paragraph, and we had already seen in that portion of Scripture that we're to restore those who had been overtaken in the fault. And who are those? Well, the spiritual. The spiritual are those who recognize that there go I, but by the grace of God. that if I'm not careful with what myself, there I fall and I will be overtaken in the fall just the same way. In that portion of Scripture, we have seen that we're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What an incredible statement. I can't even get my mind around that. That when I respond to the Word of God by faith in love, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. And the law of Christ, I want you to know, was this. When the Lord Jesus came on this earth, He said, I came to do thy will. Not to do my will, but I came to do the will of Him that sent me. Can you imagine, get your mind around that, David, that the Lord is saying to us, if we respond on the basis of faith, that we're fulfilling the law of Christ. With all of the frailties and weaknesses and all of the things that are still remaining in us that lack and are far short of the glory of God, but as we respond on the basis of love and faith, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. Then we saw last week that we're to take care of the teachers, pastors, and those that preach the gospel, and those that live by the gospel, that we're to take care of them. We saw that. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And I want to simply say to you folks, as I mentioned last week, that take all of these truths in this context and recognize and realize that don't muzzle the ox that's redded at the corn. Don't starve the one who is doing the cooking, if you will. Take care of those that are preaching and teaching God's word. Kevin, I appreciate what you said this morning. As far as our teachers at Calvary Baptist Church, I want to say I thank the Lord for you, each and every one of you. Bill and Sherry, I want to say to you, thank you for teaching, and Sharon and some of the others, Joel and Crystal, and David and Josh, and everyone that is teaching, from the little one, from Valerie, from you that's got the little small ones, all the way up. What a marvelous thing to think that God has equipped us with people that are teaching God's word. And let me tell you what we ought to do with them. We ought to honor them. We ought to recognize them. We ought to put our arms around them and say, we love you. We thank you for the good work that you're doing. You see, for the consequences of it is going to be seen as they preach and teach God's word. Now, it brings us to verses 7 through 10 this morning, entitled, and I want to say, Harvest, where he says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What do you think in the introductory remark of this sermon this morning? I like the thought of harvest, don't you? I know we have some gardeners here with us. And I believe the illustration and the language that the Apostle Paul uses here to the Galatians, I think every one of us, we can understand that. Maybe we have some farmers here. Maybe we have gardeners here. Maybe we have people that don't have a farm or a garden. Maybe they have a flower pot. Maybe there's something that they like to grow. But I do like the idea of harvest, don't you? Sowing and reaping and harvesting, all of that stuff that's vital and important. It's language that we can understand. You remember the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, where he talked about the fact that of parables, a sower then went forth. We're not going to get into that parable, not with the interpretation of it, but you remember... Do you remember how the Lord Jesus gives an illustration here for him to make applications of what the Word of God does? The Word of God is like seed that one goes forth and he sows, and that seed falls on ground. In Matthew 13, verse 3, we read, and he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony grounds where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then he says, who had ears to hear, let him hear. If you want to read the rest of the interpretation where the Lord Jesus is applying what he means by that, you can go ahead and do that in Matthew chapter 13. We're not going to do that. But I believe that we all can say we want harvest. I think anybody would say the idea of harvest when it comes to the life that we live, I think we could all say I would like to have a blessed life. I like to be successful. I like to be healthy. I like to be wealthy. I like to prosper. And I like to be a blessed person. What do you think? The idea of that kind of harvest. And that's very appealing. And to be honest with you, there's much of that is being said in our day when it comes to sowing seeds of this and that and sowing plentiful and reaping plentiful. And much has to do literally with the temporal. But I want you to know, I believe that when we look at this portion of Scripture, I think we can say some of it has to do with temporal, but when it's all said and done, it has to do with the spiritual. When I look at this passage, I ask the question, now who is the sower? Who is he? I believe that we can say in the context of our passage right here, it's to those who name and profess the Lord Jesus Christ. He responds to them that those that have heard now the word of God, they're in the book of Galatians. What do you think? Secondly, I want to ask, well, what's the seed? I think in the context, and we'll look at that in just a second, it would be maybe the fruit of the Spirit. And then number three, there is that promise of a harvest. At the same time, I think we can say this principle not only applies to those that he's addressing to in the Galatian church, but I believe that the sowing and the reaping and the harvest, I believe, applies to every man, whether he's saved or lost. Regardless where he is, there is this thing of sowing and there is reaping. There is one day, one of these days, there's going to be a harvest. Maybe in time, but most certainly in eternity. The first thing that I see in this passage is this. He's talking about, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever man soweth, that shall reap. For he soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. The first thing I want to know is, I just want to simply say, we need to understand that in order for us to have a harvest, a good harvest, you must have some good seeds. Do you agree? You need to you look at the farmer that's farming Western Oklahoma and Kansas and Nebraska, and I mean in this part of the country, they're going after the best seed that they can get. They want a bumper crop. They want a harvest. They want a good harvest. Bad seed soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. You just cannot get away from that. Do you remember when Job lost his health, when he lost his possessions, when he lost his family? You remember how some of his friends came and they counseled him and saying, the reason Job, this is happening to you is because of this and that one thing and another. And when we read the book of Job, when you see how there were three of his friends, they all counseled him from a different perspective. Now, some of the things that they used for counseling was very true. You couldn't get away from that. At the same time, it was not applicable as far as Job was concerned. In Job 4:1, we find then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, he speaks to Job, and he says in verse 7, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off, even as I have seen that they plow iniquity and sow wickedness, shall reap the same. The blast of God, they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. Now, I want you to know the counsel that Eliphaz that gave to Job, that was not applicable to Job, yet at the same time, what he said was really a truism. That the seed that you sow, there's going to be a harvest. You cannot, listen to me, young people, you cannot get away from another. You cannot get away from that. In Galatians 5:15, he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. In the book of Hosea, we read these truths, for they have sown to the wind, and they shall reap of the whirlwind. It had no stalk, but shall yield no meat, and if so be yield, the stranger shall swallow it. Then in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitudes of thy mighty men. Bad seed is going to produce that. You cannot get away from it. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30, we read, and they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkened unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. What do you think? Bad seed. And what is the bad seed? The bad seed is sowing to the flesh. Did he not list, you see, in Galatians chapter 5, did he not list right there when he says, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. And then he gives us the list, which are these: adultery. All I have to do is ask you, what happens when you commit adultery? Saved and lost alike. Is some good things going to come from it? Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. All of that is that's bad seed. And yet at the same time, I want you to know there is this law that God has given. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You cannot get away from that. Now, I want you to know that as I was sitting here this morning, that verse of Scripture came to my mind in light of this sermon that I'm preaching is this. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who could stand? There is not a one here among us who has not sown to the flesh. And yet, at the same time, the consequences of sowing to the flesh and reaping perhaps has long-lasting even effects in our own lives, even until the day we die, things may not ever change, because of the sowing to the flesh and the reaping that came from that. Yet at the same time, I want to say to you before we go any further, there is mercy that is found in the Lord Jesus. Do you hear me? You may have sown to the wind and reaped whirlwind. You've sown to the flesh and reaping corruption. Yet at the same time, I want you to know there is forgiveness that is found with thee. John MacArthur says that this law is a form of God's wrath. Perkins says it is the law of retribution. That we cannot live in this mentality, say, it doesn't make any difference how I live and what I sow. It's not going to have an effect in my life or in the lives of others, those people that are around me. We cannot have this mentality. Folks, if we sow to the flesh, it's going to have an effect, and there is going to be a harvest. But then there's also good seed. What is that? I believe the good seed, the Apostle Paul has spelled it out in Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6. He's saying, but by love serve one another. The whole law is fulfilled with one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen to me. It's that constant battle of the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one with another. Is there not constantly the battle of the life that we have? Which seed am I going to sow? Am I going to sow the seed of selfishness, of the me, myself, and I, or am I going to sow the seed that you see, that seed that which will bring forth a good harvest? Am I going to sow the seed that has to do with those around me that by love serve one another? What do you think? Listen to the seed. I mean, this good seed. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then he says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Sowing good seed is, let us also walk in the Spirit. I believe the sowing the good seed, he spells out here in chapter 6. And I want you to know, folks, we've got a lot to learn here when it comes to Christendom in our day, in our local churches. The first one is this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye are a spiritual, sowing good seeds. We don't know each other good enough to know anything about us. Do we know the burdens of... do we even know each other? Do we even know each other to such a place where we can... where we're able to say, are you okay, brother? Or then you say, there is something that's not right. That's sowing good seed. Bearing one another's burdens is sowing good seed. And not just on those that have been overtaken the fault, but there are times where physically people end up in places where they simply have to have some help. Maybe cleaning somebody's house. Maybe fixing a meal for someone that is ill. Maybe taking somebody to the doctor. But in order for you to do that, in order for us to do that, we've got to know each other. You say, well, Pastor, we know we're taking care of that. We've got deacons and we've got you. You're paid staff. You take care of all of that. But I'm simply saying, here are some of these good seeds that we by the grace of God, look from ourselves, away from ourselves to others and say, how can I bear another's burdens? How can I respond, you see, with that? I want you to know all of life. You know, I believe that I can honestly say I believe all of life has to do with sowing seeds. Did you know that? I'm so glad we have German-speaking people here with us this morning, because I want to quote Galatians 6, verse 7 in German. And the reason I want to quote that, I read several years ago that in Basel, Switzerland, one of these old ancient towns, there was a city gate, and at that city gate there was embossed, engraved on top of that city gate these words, irrt euch nicht, Gott lässt sich nicht spotten, denn was der Mensch sät, das wird ernten. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine to have that on our city's gate, to have these words, be not deceived, God is not mocked, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Can you imagine that? Walking in and out of this city, day in and day out, and seeing these words, and being reminded of the fact that we do not stick our nose at God, and taking this natural principle that he's given us, this law of retribution, or this law of justice, we cannot poke our fingers at God and say, it doesn't make any difference what I do and what I say and how I live. It's not going to have any consequences. I want you to know that's wrong. It's the idea that I'm going to do it my way. Just don't worry about it. It was several years ago on Johnny Carson. I couldn't remember the man's life, the man's name. But he ended up, eventually, I heard here 4 or 5 years ago, he killed his wife, ended up in prison. I think he's probably dead now. I think his name was Robert Blake. See, you guys remember that. It was Robert Blake that was on Johnny Carson one night. And Johnny Carson, I want you to know, Johnny Carson was an entertainer. He was really a comedian. And he was not really interested in Robert Blake's answer, as it was that I'm going to stir up a controversy because I know that this man is an ungodly man. And so he asked Robert Blake, tell me about your religious life. I never forget it. I will never forget it. It's probably been 35 years ago when I saw that. I never forget it. Here's what the man said. Let God do his thing. I'm going to do mine. What a frightening thought. Listen to me. God does His thing. He is the sovereign God. He's given us life and breath, and He's given us, He's saying to us, I am not mocked. Don't be deceived. The idea is this: you cannot make a mistake here. Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I want you to know the sowing and the reaping, that has consequences. The things that we think, you cannot say. You know, I want to tell you something. There's stuff that runs into my mind, and I have to simply write that and say, get thee behind me, Satan. There's stuff that comes to your mind, evil thoughts. There are lusts and all kinds of wicked things that enter into our mind. And I want to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Lord Jesus, I thank you that I'm free in Christ, that I'm no longer under the bondage of sin, and that I can say these thoughts, if I leave these thoughts and I grow these thoughts, what happens? I want you to know, like a woman that is expecting a baby, these thoughts are like a seed in a woman that's expecting a baby. And then when that baby comes forth, and when that sin and that thought comes forth, then it brings forth death. Do you understand me? You cannot have the idea. And listen to me, young people. You cannot get on the web. You cannot entertain the idea. Men, you cannot be on the computer and look at pornography. You cannot somehow or another say an excuse is, it doesn't really make any difference. It will not have an effect. Listen to me. You feed that man and you sow that, it's going to bring forth corruption. God's not mocked. The idea is this: to turn up the nose at, sneer at, to treat with contempt. Can you imagine that? And if that's the case, there's going to be a harvest of corruption. You cannot get away from that. There is going to be a harvest of corruption. What do you think? Look at our society. Look at our families. I think in each and every one of us, we can say, look at our families where there's been the sowing, the reaping, the consequences. Go with me tomorrow to Family Court, downtown Tulsa. And listen to some of the preliminary discussions or divorce court, and listen to some of the things that go on. Where did it start? How did it start? Husbands, men, those of you that are here, you're married. And I want to simply say, you need to guard and protect the relationship that you have with your wife. You cannot tolerate the fact that, you see, there are some other things that will enter into your life. And you cannot tolerate of neglecting to your wife and not giving her due that which you need to give her as the one in your home. As the wife is the weaker vessel and she looks to the husband for him to love and to support and encourage and to take care of her. You can't afford to do that. I want you to know that. Go up there. Go to the divorce court and see where it started. Some little sentence. Where did it start? Well, look at your body. Look how dumb you are. Look where you come from. And all of those things, and I mean, we can just go on down. Go to prison and go sit in those places and talk to the people behind the glass and say, where did it start from? Recently, I ended up at Moss Correctional Center, and I was listening. I was actually waiting for someone that I was visiting, and I was sitting there listening to a man that was talking to a prisoner, and the prisoner was complaining of the fact of how he was raised. That he never had any kind of support and encouragement from his father and from his parents, and that he was kicked around and this and that and on and on and on. And I know there's probably two sides to every story, but I want you to know something. When you think about it, the sowing and the reaping, the consequences of that, you cannot get away from it. Listen to me, you cannot get away from it. How about businesses? They've got programs. We've got reality TV now. we show and we glorify in how corrupt leaders are and how greedy leaders are and the conniving and the cheating and the stealing and everything that's going on behind the scenes, and ultimately they were found out. What about nations? I want you to know the path and the track that we're on in this nation. We cannot get away from the fact that I believe that with a high hand that we're flying directly into the face of God, to saying, God, we're going to stick up our nose at you. We don't care that same-sex marriage. We don't care if we kill 1.3 million aborted babies. We don't care if we do this or that. We don't care. And I want you to know it is a sobering thing for to know that there is going to be a harvest. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I want you to know I'm looking forward to a good harvest, aren't you? A couple of illustrations. One was from John Kerry. John Kerry, the missionary to India. Does anybody remember how John Kerry ended up in India? It was a mission society in London that had come together, and John Kerry was a young desiring to go into the mission fields. And in that society, they've got together, and it was John Kerry that stood up in the middle of that, and he said, brethren, don't you think that we ought to go to foreign lands and go to India and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus? And it was one of the elder religious leader of that society, he said, young man, sit down. If God wants to save the heathens, he can do it without you and without me. John Kerry ended up in the mission field. Quoted in Timothy George's Faithful Witness, which is really a good example. William Carey, the first modern missionary to India, from the day that he arrived on the subcontinent in 1793, Carey began to teach the Bible to everyone that would listen. This he continued to do for the next 7 years without winning so much a single convert to Christ. I mean, he's the one that stood up boldly and say, we need to preach the gospel and bring the gospel to the heathens, to those that are far outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes 7 years. Not surprisingly, Kerry sometimes got discouraged. On one occasion, he wrote back to his family in England, I feel as a farmer does about his crop. Sometimes I think the seed is springing, and thus I hope a little time blasts all, and my hopes are gone like a cloud. There were only weeds which appeared, or if a little corn sprung up, it quickly dies, being either choked with weeds or parched by the sun of persecution. Yet, I still hope in God, and I will go forth in his strength. And though he sometimes grew weary in good, Kerry refused to give up. In 1800, he finally began to reap that which is sown, baptized his first Hindu convert. I want you to know, William Kerry, he would not have made it in our modern day society and the mentality that we have when it comes to the success of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. 7 years! How is the church doing, William? It's going fine. How many have you baptized? None! Those of you that are doing gardening, I mean, those of you that have done some farming, what is there? There is the heat. There is the wind. There is the storm. There is the hail. Then there is the bugs. And then every other creeping and crawling thing that comes up and says, whoo, look, here's the harvest. Let's eat it. And so what do? Sometimes you put your stuff out too soon. Oh, we're close to Easter. Freeze is done. No problem. Let's put them out. 25 degrees, it's all gone, starting all over again. What do you think? Though sometimes he grew weary. Another illustration is I thought about as I was looking at this passage was, you all remember it was about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, that we watched the story of Mr. Ginner. You all remember that? Mr. Ginner in Sydney, Australia. Mr. Ginner that was there on George Street, close to the airport. And it was recently, several years ago, was found out that Mr. Jenner, when he came to know the Lord Jesus, it was some 40 years before he died, he came to a place and he recognized that the Lord had mercy on him and that he decided that he would communicate to at least 10 people a day for the rest of his life and communicate to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was in London several years after that that in a conference or in some kind of Bible conference that a couple of the people that were there in that conference were talking to each other and they said, how did you come to know the Lord Jesus in a saving way? And one of them would say, I was in Australia. I was near the airport and I was there on George Street and this little white-haired man, he jumped out in front of me and he put this tract in my hand and he would say, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Conversation that was all found out that in the providence of God that these that had recognized they came to know the Lord Jesus because of Mr. Ginner's effort in putting gospel tracts into the hands of people. Some of them were annoyed, some were mad, some of them were not happy that he would interrupt their path, some of them were very discomforted by it. Someone had made the calculation and said that that little white-haired man in the 40 years had passed out and had addressed at least 146,100 people that he had communicated the gospel of the Lord Jesus to. And so I want you to know something, that these folks, there were a couple of these folks who came to know Christ, they flew to Sydney and they inquired about that little white-haired man that would come out of his shop and would address people with a gospel tract. He said, do you know if this little man is still... Yes, he lives up here in a flat. And so they went and visited him. The man opened the door, little white-haired, frail man, not long before the Lord would call him home. And they sat down with him and said, do you know that I came to know the Lord Jesus? And do you know there are many others that came to know the Lord Jesus? And the little man said, I didn't have any idea that anybody came to know the Lord Jesus. What do you think? I want you to know harvest time is going to be certain. Harvest time is going to be certain. And it may not be harvest time that we see here on this side. It would be a wonderful thing that we would see our grandchildren, all of our grandchildren, come to know the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful for us to come? There's another illustration, and I want to close with that. There was another example, and I've got this from Ryken's book, and it says there was a man named Luke Short at the ripe old age of 103. Short was sitting under the hedge when it happened. He remembered a sermon that he had once heard preached by the famous Puritan John Flavel, 1691. And as he recalled the sermon, he asked God right then and there to forgive his sins, and through Jesus Christ, Short lived for 3 more years when he died. This inscription was on his tombstone. Here lies a babe in grace, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, age 106. But here's the remarkable part of the story. And what is the remarkable part of the story? It's the fact the sermon Short remembered had been preached by Flavel back in England 85 years before. We shall reap. And lastly, our passage tells us, he tells us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And then look at verse 10. What does he want us to do? What does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to continue on sowing. And I mean, we have one thing after another that tears up and destroys. He wants us to continue on sowing. Then he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let me close with these words of James. James chapter 5, verse 7, he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, a judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of the suffering, affliction, and patient. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful of tender mercies. Harvest will come. The question is, what kind of seed are we sowing with? Are you sowing seed of faith and love to the Lord Jesus as you understand the Word of God to be, I want to sow that seed because I know harvest is going to come. I want you to know it's going to come. And if you're not, if you're sowing to the flesh, listen to me, you are going to reap corruption. And the end of that, when it's all said and done, the end of that is that Paul's, he says here, and those that sow to the Spirit shall reap what? Everlasting life. What's the opposite of that? What's the opposite of that? Judgment. Condemnation. Everlasting separation. What we call hell, that is a reality. Most certainly it will come. I want to say to you, would we not listen to the counsel of the Apostle Paul? Be not deceived. Don't lie to yourself. Let's sow with the right seeds. And how can we do that? It is only on the basis of faith in Christ that we sow the seed. What a blessed truth it is. May He lay that on our hearts. Let's pray.